Well, listen, Anthony, the teams have had a bit of a break. We're at the mid-season hiatus, and over the last couple of days, they've been getting back into it and preparing for the resumption of the league. Of course, you were part of management teams and playing teams that when the break came around, it was very much welcomed. I suppose it gives sides who particularly weren't getting much momentum towards the end of that part of the season, it gives them time to sort of recharge the batteries, doesn't it?
It does, actually, and it's great for the players that they can actually, you know, I remember when I was involved in the League of Ireland at that stage, and when you got to the break, you're looking forward to getting your week away, because most of the players would, and most of the clubs would give the players a bit of time off. It's also an opportunity for the managers and the coaches to push the reset button and, you know, have a think. I think it's easy, you know, when you're looking back on the season, not so difficult when you're in the middle of the season and you're preparing for games and you're analysing your previous game and you're looking forward to the next game. It's not that easy to try and look forward, and you know, because you have the pressure of preparing for games. But I think when you get a break, you have a chance to reflect on how things have gone and how things are going. And I think it's very much an opportunity for teams, especially a team like Finn Harps, who have been struggling this season. It's a chance for the manager, Kevin, and the coaching staff to hit the reset button and see where they can improve on and how them as a staff can improve the team.
Yeah. Well, listen, Harps have still got difficulties as they head on now to the next part of the season. Obviously, there's a handful of players who are on the injured list. Conor Turris, Max Johnston, a doubt over the likes of Tony McNamee, Dara McGuinness. And then when you throw in as well all these young players who are sitting exams at this time of the year, there's not really much of a reset there for Kevin McHugh, is there?
No, there's not. But I suppose Kevin, he's experienced enough. He's been around the league a long time. He'll understand and he'll appreciate the fact that they're in the situation that they are. Obviously, the players that you've mentioned there, the likes of Conor Turris and Tony McNamee, you know, two of the more experienced and obviously the most influential players in the squad. If you're missing one of them, it's going to be difficult. But when you have the possibility of missing two of them, like it's a big blow to Kevin McHugh. But as like we've spoke quite a bit this season, Oisin, and we knew that it was going to be a difficult season for Finn Harps, given the fact that, you know, budget wise and the amount of players that they lost last season, and really good players that were good for Finn Harps. And I think what we all hope for that they would be as competitive, and to be fair to them, you know, while the results may not show it, certainly the games that I've watched, they have been competitive. They have been unfortunate in games, but league tables don't lie, and I'm sure like Finn Harps supporters and people around the club, you know, they'll be wanting the club to start picking up results, because, you know, they're in quite a difficult situation at the minute, and you know, with the circumstances that you've just talked about, you know, regarding players injured, regarding young boys sitting exams, you know, the possibility of young boys being away playing international football as well, it just decimates the squad for Kevin McHugh. So he'll be looking forward to maybe getting to July and getting a transfer window and seeing what he can bring into the club.
Yeah, what really are his options? Because obviously he's got a limited spend there, so it sort of curtails as to who he can actually bring to Finn Park, Anthony, when it comes to that stage.
Well, I think Kevin, you know, he certainly would have known the budget and the restraints that he would have had to work with. And a manager coming into the football club working in them conditions would find it difficult. But I think Kevin's probably the best man for that job at the minute, because he's worked very closely with the underage setup at the football club. He knows the young players coming through inside out. And while it's not ideal, it's an opportunity to blood some of these young boys into League of Ireland football, especially the ones that he would deem to be good enough to play at a senior level. But it is really difficult, and it's not a situation that I'm sure him or the club would like to, are happy to find themselves in. But it's listen, sometimes you've just got to, you know, play with the cards and the hand that you've been dealt. And while it is difficult, I'm sure, listen, Kevin wouldn't have taken the job if he'd have thought, you know, that he couldn't help and improve things. And I think that's all we're looking for at the moment, is that we do see an improvement in the fortunes of Finn Harps.
Yeah. We have to bear in mind as well, in relation to the transfers, Anthony, that sort of Harps are involved in this investigation that's going on at the moment, and the registration ban that was handed down.
Yeah.
Now, we understand that could be lifted by July the 1st, but that's a very unfortunate situation that the club ended tangled up in, so it is.
It is, yeah. And, you know, it is a situation that I would envisage that come the 1st of July that, you know, the embargo will have been removed. But listen, it's all part and parcel of the game. We've seen it, you know, at much higher levels than League of Ireland, where clubs have been given transfer embargoes and, you know, they've been stopped from signing players. And, you know, the bigger clubs, when the, you know, they've got the money behind them and they've got the lawyers, they'll always find a loophole. But, you know, in a situation like Finn Harps, you know, the club have to work extra hard to make sure that any problems that are seen as, you know, restricting them in terms of bringing players in, you know, they've got to work hard to make sure that something like that in the future doesn't happen.
Okay, then, on the game on Friday night, Wexford, obviously Harps have played them already this season. That game ended on a 2-2 draw, if I'm thinking right, Anthony. What can we expect on Friday night? Is this a game that Harps could take a one on now? It's been a while since we had one. We have to go back 7 games. They've only won one of their last 10. But it would be the ideal start to the next phase of the season if Harps were to get a big result on Friday night.
It would, yeah. And, like, to be fair, after a positive start by Wexford, you know, they've sort of tailed off a wee bit. Like, they themselves have only won one game in the last 6, a 2-1 victory away to Bray. But, you know, you'd expect that they're currently sitting in 6th place, a point off the playoffs. But you would expect that Wexford would go to Finn Harps in a fairly buoyant mood, you know, given the fact that their opponent has so many issues in terms of injuries and in terms of young players and a depleted squad. But, you know, again, and without sounding like I'm repeating myself, all Harps can watch for is that they've, you know, rejuvenated over the break, that they're going in fresh, that, you know, they've hit the reset button, you know, and they can go on an even playing field against a Wexford team who, again, themselves haven't been in great form, but would have ambitions of pushing into the playoffs come the end of the season. I'd expect it to be a tight game. You know, Wexford do have the top goal scorer in the league in Mikey Rowe. He's got 13 goals, which is a phenomenal bit of shooting for a team, you know, that's only scored 21. So, I mean, he's the man to watch. And, you know, if they can keep Mikey Rowe quiet, they've got a chance to at least get a point against Wexford.
Yeah, kickoff 7:45 at Finn Park on Friday night. Jeremy Doherty will be there to watch Finn Harps against Wexford Youth. We will have live updates as from the kickoff time there, all brought to you in association with B&S Credit Union, Main Street, Ballybuffet. As for the rest of the games, the leaders Dundalk are hosting UCD, Treaty to go on Bray Wanderers, Athlone Town against Kerry FC. And then on Saturday, second place Cove Ramblers are off to Longford Town. But the big games keep coming in the League of Ireland Premier Division as its season swings back into action once again. Derry City are going to welcome Galway United, who of course have Ollie Horgan as a member of the management backroom team. But I'm sure Derry were glad to see the break, because they lost their last 2 games before they took the break, so they did. So that was probably welcome from a Derry point of view to hit reset there, Anthony.
Yeah, Derry have been a funny team this year. You know, after a poor start, and then you think they've turned the corner, and then they went on another poor run, and then... So the last 3 games, they picked up a point out of the last 3 games, but having been impressive in the previous 3 games, you know, where they got victories over Shells and Pats, and home to Shells and Pats and away to Cork. But it's about Derry finding that consistency, Oisin, you know. And again, we can't keep going back and saying, oh, it's a new squad and new players and new manager. you know, the time has to come where, you know, Tiernan Lynch, he sits down and he looks and he's got a settled squad. And like these, the boys that he's brought in, they're all experienced players. And moving clubs, you know, when you're an experienced player, it's nothing new to be moving football club every couple or 3 years, you know. So it's time for the excuses to stop with Derry City, and it's time for them to start, you know, delivering performances and results that the ability in the squad suggests that they should be delivering.
Yeah. No doubt the game in the Premier Division is Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers. We have the battle of the former champions and the current league leaders. And when you look at the table, Anthony, Shamrock Rovers leading the way. They've 36 points and have scored, are better off rather in goal difference on plus 17. Are 9 points adrift in 27 and only have a goal difference of plus 2. And that sort of tells the tale, particularly how, I suppose, the second quarter of the season had panned out in those closing weeks towards the break. But listen, it's been teed up now for another clinker of a game at Tulke Park, so it is.
Yeah, and I think the rest of the Premier Division, they actually need Shelburne to, you know, to take 3 points off Shamrock Rovers, because, I mean, if Rovers go into the Shelburne game and they pick up another 3 points, you know, given the fact that Drogheda is playing away to Pats, like, they could be looking at a 9 point lead at the top of the table. And Shamrock Rovers, they're the one team in the league that you feel has the ability to put together a run of 5-6 victories in a row. And then, you know, going into Europe, I always felt that Rovers, their plan would be to, you know, go flat out in the league and, you know, put out the big guns in every game and try and pick up as many points as possible before the European campaign starts up, because Rovers would have ambitions of playing in the group stages of whether it's the Europa League or the Conference League. So they're in for a long season, or they're planning and preparing for a long season. But take Rovers out of it, Oisin. It's very cramped at the top, from second to the seventh, or second to even eighth. There's only 7 points. Yeah. And it's, if you again take Rovers out of it, it's very similar to the way the league was last year. You know, Derry and Shelburne matching themselves on points, and, you know, Drogheda's been outstanding this season. And Bowes, while they've been really hit and miss, they've a good game, bad game, but they're still sitting in third place with 30 points. And Bowes have yet to draw a game in the league this year, actually 10 victories, 8 defeats. You know, what says a wee bit about Bowes, you know, that their inconsistency could cost them. But certainly, from a league point of view, I think it's important that Shelburne try their best to get 3 points against Shamrock Rovers on Friday night.
Yeah, the other games, St. Pat's against Drogheda, Cork City playing Bohemians. Those are the games on Friday. And then finally, Anthony, on Saturday, Sligo Rovers play host to Waterford. Two teams in the bottom three. And if Sligo was to get 3 points in this one, certainly it would be a very much welcome 3 points. And it could be a result which could lift them off the bottom of the table as well.
It could, but do you know, we look at the league table and we see Sligo at the bottom and Waterford third from bottom. Well, believe you me, both teams have been impressive when I've watched them. And I think, you know, Sligo, they've been so unfortunate in games. Like, they've actually scored quite a few goals. But it's at the other end, you know, when they're letting in goals, it's very difficult to keep leads and pick up points. Waterford, on the other hand, you know, they've been quite consistent throughout, and they've been impressive, especially going forward. So you would expect a good game there. And there's, again, the league tables usually don't lie, but Sligo, to be fair, as I said, their performances have been good, and they have been unfortunate in the games that they've lost. So you wouldn't rule out anything from Sligo and a home game against Waterford.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Anthony, we appreciate you taking time out to join us this evening on The Score, and enjoy the football this weekend. Talk soon.
Thanks, my gosh, and thank you.